بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. In the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many people sacrifice their tongues and beautiful ash'ar were written, and how many people sacrifice their lives. The Zat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so beautiful. His outside is called his surat, his inside is known as his sirat. It was not possible for the ummah to be able to match him in his surah, because surah is a thing that is created by Almighty Allah. But he always loved that my ummah must look like me. Because of which emphasis was put, how my hair is, your hair should be. How my walk is, your walk must be. That was something that is natural to a person. But wherever the ummah could imitate it, he wanted them to imitate. What was the purpose of wanting them to imitate? In this world, when you have these stars, they also want people to imitate them. But their purpose of wanting people to imitate them is they get happy, they're walking in the streets and they see someone looking like them. It gives them that shan, like, that they can tell their wife, you say, I'm not handsome, he looks like me. They all want to look like me. It gives them happiness. But if you ask that person, like, what do you get out of looking like this man? He gets happy because he says, so many people in the world, I cut my hair wrong today. And sometimes it happens, they go to their barber, whoever their barber is, that man never have a good night, he cut wrong. This man, if someone takes a picture, that wrong cut becomes the famous cut in the world. Before he can send a message of sorry, mistake, he say everyone cut. So then he just leaves it like he thinks it's normal. How do you think torn socks? Today I sat in the aeroplane, as soon as I sat my passenger next to me, he had torn clothing. So as I sat there, I thought in the past where we saw someone with torn clothing, we would give them some money, like. It was a sign of poverty, but you can't be poor if you're in the aeroplane with me. What made the person feel that my trouser needs an aircon? That you had to have a hole there. There was no purpose behind it. They saw it somewhere and it clicked. If you had to ask the person that, what comfort does this torn jean give you? He will just say, someone who I love did it. And then it will be asked, so what do you get out of it? Then they'll say, nothing. It just makes me feel good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was never bothered for himself. It never thrilled him that I will have so many people following me. That was not the thrill. His thrill is that in following me, so many people will get saved. That was his thrill. When Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said to him, Almighty Allah has announced, whoever will think of you one time, Allah will send 10 favors upon that person. He fell in sajda immediately. That sajda was not, I will be so well mentioned in the world. That sajda was that my ummah can benefit just by thinking about me. Everything he had was, what will happen to my ummah? Before passing away, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah is waiting for you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and what about my ummah? That time he says, Allah will not disgrace you regarding your ummah. Allahu la yukhzik. Then he gets happy, like, now I can leave them, that my Allah promised. Only he worried. So even in surah, it was impossible for the world to look like him. But wherever they could imitate, he was so happy. If someone could just keep a hair like him, if someone could just make a walk like him, what was that happiness for? It was that understanding that he had been given, that whoever will walk like the Nabi of Allah will get the attention of Almighty Allah as he would give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He only made the walk. He only kept the hair. He only tried that smile. He only entered the house with the same leg, the right leg. It was things where you will say, what you will get by imitating? It was that if I can just look like my Nabi, there is a hope that that nazar that would fall continuously on. In Medina Munawwara, there is an area which is known as a garden from the gardens of Jannah. When people go there, they book nowadays to try to get in one time. I need to get in that garden. The question is, what made that a garden from Jannah? Ulama have written that on one side is the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then is his mimbar. He would walk between this house and the mimbar so many times. Everywhere else in Medina Munawwara, he also walked. But no place on earth had that honor of him walking so much like this spot. He would walk to the mimbar, perform salah, walk back home. Walk to the mimbar, perform salah, walk back home. Walk to the mimbar. As he would walk, he would be blessed with the gaze of Rasul of Almighty Allah. That nazar of Allah would fall on him, and that nazar of Allah then falls around him. It's like you're finding water that splashes, it hits, and it hits. That splashes around gave this area the name that this is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. It became a place where for 1,400 years have passed, and people continue fighting, I just need to read two rakats of salah. It became so unique because it pulled the nazar of Almighty Allah onto the beloved of Allah and it splashed. That nazar of Almighty Allah also falls on an individual who looks like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He himself becomes a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Just by him walking. It's a slight on the outside change. A slight cut in the haircut. A slight leave where it has to be left. Some people ask this question, what about true lengths? Will I burn in the fire? So the easiest answer is, we're not talking of the fire, but definitely you're going to deprive yourself of that look from Almighty Allah. That nazar will not fall until your outside looks like the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a reason where Almighty Allah inspired the scholars of every era, where they had to record his every word. They would also record from his head to his toe, how his hair would be. They would count the amount of white hair that he had, how his hair would reach, sometimes to the ear, sometimes to the shoulder, when he would cut short, when he would cut blessed. Everything was recorded so that whoever would come after, if he wanted to look, and he say, how must I look? He just had to open the door, open the book, and he would say, today I'm starting on this chapter. I want my hair to be like the Nabi of Allah. Then I want my nails to be like the Nabi of Allah. I want to cut my nails when he cut it. I want my trouser to be like his. I want my kameez to be like his. I want my head covering to be like his. Then I want my walk to be like his. And it would never end. May Allah tabarak ta'ala inspire us in that direction. Something unique to follow. Beautiful he was in his face. One scholar wrote that a child normally gets attracted to something handsome, pretty. Almighty Allah blessed Rasulullah ﷺ with such an outside that the young child who would see him, that child would immediately like it. For which reason, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, many of them who grew up unique, were very small when they first met him. He had a certain awe over him which the elders felt and they looked down. But the young child would look right in his eye. Another person who doesn't sleep, you will get red eyes. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hardly would sleep. But his eye would have a unique black. It was so beautiful. One person said he was shining like the sword. The other said, no, it was like the moon. What was the issue for him saying, not like the sword? He said, a sword shines also, but it's like a scary shine. He said, but the moon, when I look at it, it makes me so comfortable. The child, when he would speak, Allah tabarak ta'ala blessed him with that outside. The way his hair was, the way his eye was. Understand what we're speaking about beauty. We're not speaking about that girl, that boy went to school and he says, there's no one that looks like her. That same age. Ask one boy, did you see that one auntie, 50 years old, and come read one qasida for her. Say, what eyes, what cheeks. The boy will say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he met with these children, he was already 60 years old. He was already 60 years old, but when the child looks at him, he can take out qasaid, he can read ash'ar, he can stand up and he say, خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. It seems you have been created free from any blemish. There's nothing wrong with your face. In love, a man tells everything. There he can tell any girl that you are unique. There's no blemish on you. Her age, let that girl get little older. And then tell him, take out your old ash'ar you read. You think he will read it that time? Now the eye is dropping, now the cheek is dropping, now the teeth. Now when you are praising someone past the age of 60, and you're saying, I hardly found even one hair white in his beard. Beautiful is the eye, beautiful is the Sahaba radiallahu anhu who narrated how he looked. They were not speaking of a 20-year-old, 30-year-old. At that time, no one was recording how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked. Almighty Allah was going to make those that described him at the age of 60, 61, 62. He passes away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes. His first word is, طِبْتَ حَيًّا. When you were alive, you were so unique. وَمَيِّتًا. Even after death, you still got that look on him. Even demise was not going to change. Beautiful. That was his surat. When the surat was so unique, which the shair speaks about, then he speaks about, then what was that sirat? That character he has. A beautiful sentence he says here. Tu hidayato kapekar, tu hai rahmate mujassam. You are like the substance of guidance for the world. You are a living mercy. You are the guide of life. You are the medicine for the one who had pain. And then he says, shabaroz ye dua hai. Day and night you are making dua. Koi rehna jaye nari. Allah, from my ummah, let there be not one person who stays in the fire of Jahannam. Says, that was you. He had it all, but he did not worry about himself at all. He had it all, but he did not worry of himself at all. A sahabi radiallahu anhu asked him, who is the best and the closest to Almighty Allah? He said, same it will be. أَحَبُّ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَى عِيَالِهِ. He says, this whole world, if you want to call them the household of Allah. He said, they're all part of, they Allah's creation. He says, but the most beloved to Allah is the one who's only kind to this creation. He forgets himself and he says, I got more than enough. In this world of what we call the selfish world, you are not going to find many people like this. Allah tabarak ta'ala, make it me and you become that person. Where everyone says, mine, mine, he did me down, he cheated me, he did this to me, how could he do this to me? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had that. He had lost himself completely. If someone even punished him, hit him, cursed him, he cried not because why he cursed me, he cried because what punishment can fall on the man who cursed me if he doesn't come right? So where another person will at night just be angry and he look at his phone, can I phone someone to kill that person? It was Allah's Nabi's hands who was up at night. And he say, if Allah, hidayat is coming to someone today, let it come to that person. When someone did him down, someone knocked him, someone was rude to him, hard to him, he felt pain for that person. He never bothered about himself. It was a beautiful sirat. You will never find it in the world except from those who took it directly from him. Those that took it. The surah which we will discuss slightly, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, it speaks of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a living seerah. But when Allah tabarakallah describes in Quran, the word laka, laka means for you. Inna a'tainaka, we have given you. Walasawfa yu'tika, very soon we will give you. Almighty Allah in none of the surahs said, I will give Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama have explained in the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever mercy was going to fall on him, as a mirror image, Allah tabarak ta'ala was going to allow it to fall on his ummah. So everything was you. Meaning I am being spoken to in Quran, you are being spoken. When I am crying, the verse is speaking to me, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Laka means for you. The rest we will translate. Inna a'tainaka. Man is crying, he says, I don't know why life is so hard. He reads the surah where Almighty Allah says, indeed I have given you more than enough. You, that is me, you. When we will see the curse in Quran, Allah give us the chance to learn little of the meaning of Quran. Then the man who got a hard life, all he has to do is say, Allahu Akbar, and start reading the surah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum's iman grew at the beginning, where very few surahs of Quran were revealed. But they would take that small surah and repeat it so many times in the salah. So many times, sometimes they would stand the whole night reading one surah. But in that one surah, as they would read it and read it, if there was pain in the leg, that surah was going to take away that pain. If there was pain in the head, it was going to take it away. If there was tension, if there was depression, if there was problems, that one surah was going to do it all. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought them onto the level that the surah would take away inside pain. The surah was going to take away outside pain. It is a sunnah which very few of us practice. May Allah tabarak ta'ala allow it that our link with Quran becomes so solid that whenever something happens, it is Quran. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stung by a scorpion. You will only understand what the scorpion bite is if you get Allah save us all. Recently someone asked one of the soldiers who went to Vietnam, that was that era, Vietnam. But what was the scariest thing in Vietnam? These American soldiers, they trained so well in their backyards or in their training groups. But when they went to Vietnam, now they were not ready for the jungle. They were not ready, same like Afghanistan. They train so well, but they train for the movies like. In the movie, they can run, they can jump, they can fall, they can roll. Put them in Afghanistan, they can't stand. Then they stuck suddenly. It's too hot here. It's too hot. So in Vietnam, they asked him, what was the scariest thing in Vietnam? They said, forget the people, it was the animals. It was the animals. Said, they never trained us in the military how to fight animals. So then he's explaining about the insects of Vietnam, the animals of Vietnam. Few things, if I can remember, one he spoke about the scorpion. He says, while I was in that tank of mine, so you have the one person who likes looks, the lookout, but there is that opening there. He says, I felt something on my neck. Then I moved my hand to just like hit it, and before that I felt that sting. He says, I fell to the bottom of the tank. It's dark. I'm screaming in pain. And everyone else, you can't run anywhere in the tank. But no one knows if the scorpion came with him or not. He says, like hell it was there. I'm screaming in pain. No one wants to help me. He says, they never prepared us for this. One bite of the scorpion, all their years of training went away. Then he speaks about the snake. He said, the last day before we left, they told us you get three types of snake. The one with the round head, he said, that's not poisonous. Then he said, the one with the triangular something, and then the third one is the most deadly. He said, that's all they told us. He said, I remember on that one trip, now my friend is screaming, a snake, a snake. And from the bottom I asked, does it have a round head? And then he's screaming on top, just get it off me. He says, they never prepared us for the snakes. And then he went on to the leopards and the crocodiles. He says, more scary than even facing a man with a gun was the animals of Vietnam. When I thought of, when I read that day, I thought of the Sahabi radiallahu anhu who entered Africa. Africa was same. Yesterday one boy came to my house to visit me. He came from one of the states of USA. So I asked him, how are you finding South Africa? So he says, you know, before coming, I really thought that on the roads I'll see lions. So I told him, in South Africa, you get other lions on the road, that even the lion doesn't attack how they attack. The lion still looks. I said, just watch out. How you were thinking of lions looking like, carry on looking like, they are lions. When that Sahabi radiallahu anhu reached Africa, it was a jungle, real jungle. That Sahabi makes one announcement. He says, oh animals of this jungle, I am the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have a mission here and we're putting up tents here. So tonight I'm asking you if you can look for some other place to stay. This is unique miracle of Islam. The one narrating says, that night we saw lions with their cubs moving. That night they saw lions with their cubs moving. They set up that place, that was the place to live now. There was no guns they were going to take, no arrows they were going to take, no cutting the trees, no looking for the scorpion. He was going to make one announcement and he says, we came here with a mission. It's time for you to go. And those animals responded. But what I was mentioning is the scorpion bites you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing salah, the scorpion bit him. He continued his salah, he was... The pain, the power Allah Ta'ala had given him, the scorpion bite, you can't perform salah after that. Your whole body goes in heat. Your whole body goes in heat. You are like burning. But he completed his salah. After the salah, he was angry with the scorpion. He said, like, you don't leave even the musalli. And then he called for water and for salt. Da'a bil ma'i wal milhi. So that whether we do it or not, salt and water, we normally bring our Zambak, or you will say bring that other medicine, or the doctor will bring the injection. There's nothing wrong with all of that. Our relationship with Quran. So he took that salt and the water and he started rubbing it on where the bite was. And as he was rubbing it, he was reading Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, and then Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. There was something that, what did these three surahs have with the bite of a scorpion? May Allah Ta'ala grant us this chance. The next time something happens and there's a need to put on some zambak or some medication, let's think of what is my link with Quran. So I'm putting that on. There's no problem with the cream. Put it on. At that time say A'udhu and Bismillah, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Qul ya, Qul A'udhu bi rabbil falaq, Qul A'udhu bi rabbin nas. Perhaps we will never understand how is these three surahs going to sort out that. That's an internal thing. That burn is going in the body. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever did anything. Except that years later when someone would study, he would say, this was the answer we were looking for. Like, we have certain things in our sunnah that it's beyond the mind how it works. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. His relationship with Quran. A person who's living through depression. A person who got anxiety. A person who say, they're just doing me down. This alam nashrah laka sadrak. As it removed all that pain from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he just read it one time. It can remove it from us also. It just needs that we read it also with that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, in Makkah Mukarrama, from the day he was born, he was the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib is like the master of Makkah Mukarrama. Abdullah had passed away. He was the most beautiful of Makkah Mukarrama. Everyone had a link to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everyone. There's a place Abdul Muttalib would sit by the Kaaba. No one would take that seat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come. He could sit there. Abdul Muttalib would not tell him anything. They would say Abdul Muttalib gave more honor to his grandson Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam than his own sons. So the son would not sit there, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit. As he would grow up, everyone just loved him. They loved Abdullah, they loved him. Then they gave him the name Amin, Al-Amin, the most truthful, As-Sadiq, Al-Amin. Everyone trusted him, everyone loved him. When you're living it nice, and then something happens in your life, and the people who were so close to you pull away. And now they become your worst. They hate you. They criticize you. One is if you grew up and no one loved you. You become immune like. You're not bothered. I hate the world. They hate me. So what? One is if you grow up where everyone is yours. And one thing happens. One thing. In South Africa, that one thing, many a time it happens. It's not supposed to happen. Unfortunately, it happens. One man is like the pride of the family. And then he thinks too much that I'm too much of the pride and he decides to take a second wife. Then he sees what I'm talking about. Everyone's eye turns in. Everyone looks at him like, how dare you? That's my cousin that you did her down. And then he comes in the masjid, you see one man do on like COVID started again. This man is that side, that man is that side. I don't want to see your face.
Then he says, what? Like the world changed. The world changed for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the day he said, I am the Nabi of Allah. Everything like collapsed. His neighbors, they were his neighbors for so many years. In and out of the house. In and out. They lived in their clans. In and out. His neighbors become his worst enemies. They are throwing dirt over the walls. The thing is just falling from the top. He's coming out of his house. There's all branches. He has to move with his daughters around the branches. They don't have shoes like ours, hard, that you can walk on anything. They had sandals. Even if you trample on it, you're going to get poked. Life became like for him so difficult. The people around him who were his yesterday, his uncles where he respected them till now. If anyone has to say that everyone is against me, it would have been him saying at that moment, Allah, everyone is against me. If this surah could change him and can keep him smiling, the surah can keep us smiling. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Almighty Allah was going to reveal ayat which was going to give him ease. He would say Allahu Akbar and he would read the surah. And it would make him so happy that the mission again would start. Allah Tabarakala, allow us to now walk on this path. Sharhe sadar, alam nashrah laka sadrak. If someone does you down, someone is against you, your mind normally goes to pain, it's natural. So my whole body is okay and someone punches me here. Naturally, I will say, ah, because the brain will focus on this pain. At that moment, if you try to tell the brain that don't scream because my rest of my body is okay, the brain won't understand that. The brain will feel only one place pain and it will scream because of it. Now when we have problems in life, the brain works on that same, that it focuses on that problem and it forgets where there's no problem. Quran came to speak to the heart, forget the brain. That you are the king, I want you to think about. That you got this one problem here, but around it, what is happening? You got one problem, but around it. Let us focus of what's happening around, you will become blind to the problem. So, alam nashrah laka sadrak. First thing was asked, have we not opened up your chest? Sharh sadr. The first level of sharh sadr is which Allah Tabarakala mentions in Quran. فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهَدِيَ. Who Allah wants to guide. يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. He allows his chest to open up for Islam. Me and you in schools and universities, you might see people who got a lot more than us. Or who living it up to a level much higher than us. But if you really want to see where a gift is and where a gift is not, I want you to look at the chest. If the chest has opened up for Islam, you will say how lucky. A Sahabi radiallahu anhu is going, when the jihad of Sham takes place, Abdullah bin Jafar, his father is Jafar, who is known as Tayyar, because when he passes away, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees him already in the skies. So he says, I saw Jafar in the skies, Allah gave him wings because they cut his arms in the battle. He says, I saw him going with the angels, normally the angels take you, Allah gave him wings, he was flying with the angels. So he was given the name Tayyar, the flying Jafar. Abdullah, his son, he grows up without a father. So he asks his mother, what was my father like? What happened to him? Where is he? She says, the Romans killed him, it was a battle against the Romans. At that young age, he says, let Allah give me life, and I'll take the revenge for my father. So he goes out, as soon as he hears Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is sending out the army to Sham, Abdullah bin Jafar is ready. On the way towards Sham, they pass by this rahib, this Christian monk. He sees Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu anhu, and he says, is this the son of your Nabi? So the Sahabi says that our Nabi got no son. This is like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin Jafar, his son, like. So like a nephew, he got no son. So the rahib says, you know, the leaves of the tree, they all come from the same root, like. So he got, so how like you thought that he could be the son of the Nabi? He says, can't you see his face? He says, I can see the glow of prophethood in the face of this person. But he is the nephew, he is the son of the cousin. I can see it in his face. You can't see it. Say, we can't see it. So then the person says, the way you talking, like it seems that you understand how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked even more than us. Like, but we saw him. So he says, how can I not understand even better than you when he has been described in all the books? He said, I studied the Zabur, I studied the Torah, the Injil. His description is so unique. As soon as I saw this boy, I said, this is the son of your Nabi. So then the Sahabi says, so why don't you read Kalima? And then he just stops. He says, I'll wait for God to tell me. And the Sahabi says, like, we just, our mouths open. Like, what an answer, I'll wait for God. So much he knows that on the road he can pick up, you got some relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, I've described him in every book. And say, why you don't believe? No, this is called. It never opened. That door just stayed closed. Recently we had a meeting or some lessons with one person who's very good in firearms. So we had a lot of time with him and it was very interesting. But one thing he said to us, so someone then said to him, he said that, you know, I found you Muslims, like from all the people I worked with, you're like, in a majority way, I found the Muslims are the most like, behaved, balanced. I was happy. I was say, lucky you saw the right Muslims. In our madrasa, normally at night, 9:30 is time out. Like, time out, everyone disappears. But exam time, students will stay awake right till Fajr. They don't sleep. They become like Imam Ghazali of the past. They don't sleep. They take Red Bull and they just pull. Some of them, when they reach the exam hall, they are so tired, they look at the questions first, to say, okay, it's the same one, and then they fall asleep. Then after 1 hour, they wake up and they start answering. Well, they never sleep whole night. But the rest of the year, 9:30 cut off. It just happened when Alim from India happened to visit the madrasa at the right time. He came exam time. So his mehman khana is right there. So when he came out, came late at night after the dawah, he saw the mutala, the place they're studying is packed. Then he came out later on, maybe tahajjud time, he saw the boys are studying. He went back to India, he wrote, so we read the article. He said, I found one madrasa. Till late at the night, he said, it reminded me of the ulama of the past. Right time you came, always come this time. So he saw the right group of Muslims. But he said, so someone then said to him, so why you don't read Kalima? So he says, you know, somebody else told me this also. He says, because me as a security guard, I even go with my, if my client is a Muslim, I go with him in the masjid. And then when he makes wudu, I make wudu with him. And when he goes to pray, I pray with him. He says, that feeling I got when I went in sajda, what a feeling. He says, but you know, when my client is a Hindu, then I go with him also. He says, and when they're doing their funny thing for 24 hours and they're sitting, he says, what a feeling there also. He says, they all got good feelings. So at that time I just thought that it's not opening up. He saw it so close, so close, so close, but it can't open. As we came out, somebody else said to me, you know, the gift of Iman, I realized it today. He said, look at this man, he's so intelligent. Because he's teaching us things. But he cannot see one thing. This is called Sharh Sadr. First part of this verse, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak. Almighty Allah says, have I not allowed your chest to open? Just this itself was more than sufficient that Iman entered. Meaning to say that all your other problems is something. The man says, oh Allah, I forgot all my problems. Alam nashra. And then Sharia Sadr doesn't end there. The more shukr a man will make for his heart opening for Iman, he will find it opens up for further. The more it opens, the more it opens, the more it opens, life becomes easy. But just the opening for Iman. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, wa wada'na 'anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, that was one, I opened it. Number two, wizrun means a burden, something that's heavy. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was heavy? From the time he reached about the age of about 15. For the first 10 years of his life, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never saw the people around him worshipping idols. Makkah Mukarramah had their 360 idols. But because of the incident of Abraha, and Abraha was destroyed, when Abraha came with his army, which we have chance, we will discuss perhaps tomorrow. When Abraha came with his army and that army was destroyed, before that army got destroyed, the Arab leaders went to the Kaaba. They held on to the curtains of the Kaaba. There was 360 idols. Not one Arab leader spoke to the idol to say, help us out tomorrow, please. Everyone said, oh Allah. So after Abraha was destroyed for a period of 7 to 10 years, in Makkah Mukarramah, no one called out to idols. They were too shy. That when we had the problem, we forgot all the idols. How can we go back? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself said for 7 to 10 years, the Arabs never looked at the idols. But after 10 years, you begin getting rusty. They got rusty. So from the age of 10 onwards, he would see again them going back to the idols. And it would worry him, trouble him. It troubled him so much that he would go to the cave of Hira and just sit there. And while sitting, he would look at Makkah Mukarramah and like cry. He would just want to cry, but he had no answer. That was that wizrun that was on him. A weight. That what is happening to my people? He loved people to be just and kind. He saw people were burying their daughters alive. It hurt him. We have entered an era today where the people of piety, they also have this burden on their head. What they seeing happening in the world, people of the last generation never saw it. It is a burden on every mother, every father. The child will never understand. You go to school, you come back with that weird haircut. Heavy. You just smiling. You don't know what it's doing to your mother's heart. She doesn't know how to tell you, my son, you're not looking normal. My daughter, you're not looking normal. And that mother is worried. Before she was worried, a girl goes out to school and she finds a boy and she comes home, mommy, I've got a boyfriend. Today parents are so worried that the girl comes home and says, mommy, I got a girlfriend. The mother doesn't know what to say, how to react. That burden is there. And me and you got our own burdens. Everyone got a certain burden. That burden troubles. Almighty Allah says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. For Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was that burden of how my world, my nation, my people, the ummah will come out of this darkness. He worried about it, worried about it. For me and you, whatever problem we got, when Quran came, it came to wipe away that problem. The first burden is the burden of sin. First burden is the burden of sin. Think of this gift of Tawbah. When I was young, when you were young, what we did with our body, what we did with our life, as that person gets older, he asks the Hakim, check me up, I don't think I'm so well. Say, I messed up when I was young. He said, I took drugs, I smoked a lot, my lungs are finished. But you ask him sometimes, forget the inside harm of that body. What about the sin itself? How will you sort out the sin? Because in this world, if it finished your lungs, the most that's going to happen is you're going to die. But that same sin which you did when you were 20 years old, if that sin has to show itself in the grave, you're not going to die with that, you're going to live in death. It's going to carry on biting. How that individual who committed what he committed when he was young, and as he starts getting older, he's able to smile. Almighty Allah says, is that not my favor on you? That I gave you a gift called Tawbah. And you became so confident with it that you just said, Allah, I'm sorry. And once you said sorry, you forgot about that sin. It was going to knock your body later on. The Hakim might say to you, my friend, you destroyed your body. But the Morana, the Alim will never say to you, you destroyed your grave. As that person got cancer later on and he's sitting, the doctor will come and say, you never lived healthy, that's why it happens. But when the Sheikh, the Alim will come, he's not going to tell him it's going to get worse. He's going to tell him what you worried about life, death is the best for you. Almighty Allah says, who removed that burden of sin from you? That you just had to say, Allah, I'm sorry, and everything was forgotten. Everything. The earth was told to forget it. The angels were told to forget it. The angels who were writing it saw in the records it was erased. Almighty Allah made the angels forget it. The books were erased. The earth was made to forget it. The limbs were made to forget it. Now when that individual is passing away, me and you both know what we have done. But how many people when they were passing away, how Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala gave them izzat and honor? وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. Is that not more than enough? The individual says, Allah, so much already. That when I heard even that you just said, just say sorry and gone. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And then Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala said, and did I not make your name high in the world? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's name became high in unique manners. Ulama have written, when he gave the call of da'wah, the first thing that happened is his own family started speaking bad about him. Because they started speaking bad about him, whenever an Arab would enter Makkah Mukarramah, he would find these people. They were waiting. As they were waiting, they would say, you know Muhammad. The man said, I don't know him. What's he? Who's he? He says, this one man in our tribe. Don't go to him. He said, okay. Man's nature is when you tell someone, don't go. Like cigarettes. Have you ever seen cigarettes? How much of adverts? I see people entering the shop, they buy more cigarettes than anything else. But cigarettes is the only thing that says, don't buy me. You say, I'll kill you. I cause cancer. I cause breast cancer. I do this, I do that. And the man goes and he says, what's the price of cigarettes like? Supposed to be the man say, take it for free. You say, no way. Yeah, cigarettes, I kill you. 50 rand. And the man just gives him, give me 2 boxes. Nothing else he does that. When they told, don't meet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everyone wanted to meet him. First way Allah tabarakallah lifted his name was he used the enemies themselves to lift up that name. In the time when there was something called 911, many now won't even know it, especially the younger people. It was an American story or an American one plane. The pilot never knew how to fly and he flew into one building. It was all a made-up thing. They made that thing happen. Whether there was anyone in that plane or not, no one knows. It could have been just a drone coming. Whatever it was. But that aeroplane hit one building, and it just happened. We call it husna ittifaq, unique coincidence. Or it was planned that one person had a camera on one building of America. America got so many buildings. You tell that man, what were you taking a camera of one building like? What was in that one building that you had it there? Hey, watch that! How you knew it's going to happen? But he had it there. So everything was like worked out nicely. And that aeroplane hit and that building went and then the war of terror started. It was a very big thing and how much of evil. At that time, Islam was in every newspaper. Islam was on the televisions, the radios, everything. At that time, we graduated about 2 years later. We used to drive in South Africa. We used to come to places and stop at the garage, the petrol station. We asked the worker, you know where the mosque is like? Then what he would answer, he say, you know, 2 years ago, I never knew it was there. But now I know it's around the corner there. Like, 2 years ago, I never knew mosque. It became so famous that they wrote the most amount of Quran sold in America was after this event. Everyone wanted to know what is this Islam. They never heard about Islam. Allah used the enemy sometimes to make their name high. Allah used it for Islam. وَرَفَعْنَا. The second was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's own companions then. As the jihad in Islam started, they were going to Sham, they were going to Egypt, everywhere they were going, wherever they would reach, they would say, why did you come? They say, we invite you to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his name was going higher. His name was going to go higher throughout the eras with everyone. And as for the year after, we can't talk about what name it will be there. As for me and you, Allah Tabarakallah gave us the honor of lifting our name also. We get very worried in this world, who follows me? I must be known. I must have a group that follows me. I want to see how many followers I have. I must do something funny. If I'm not unique, it's a mentality, especially in youngsters, that if people can't remember me for good, doesn't matter, they'll remember me for evil then. In our madrasa, we would see it a lot of times. You would get the very good student. So he, everyone would like say, well done, mashallah. But then you get that student who's not good at all. But he wants to be noticed. So how he makes himself noticed? He does something so stupid that you can't forget him ever after that. That as soon as you meet him, you say, I know you like. I know you. How can I forget you? How can I forget you? So in our madrasa at that time, now they changed the toilet doors. But at that time you were able to write on the toilet doors. Some students would go write their name there like. They would write it for whatever reason. So sometimes in bayans I would say like, what a place you want me to think about you. Like, while I look down, then I look and I think about you. What a place, but you're happy about it. I went to one place where people commit suicides. So you see the letters they write there. They really think their mother and father are going to cry till they die. So they write there that, I kill myself because you never gave me the love I wanted. Two, and then he mentions maybe my mother. On the one side there's a phone there. On the other side there's a phone. So when I entered, I'm looking at that phone booth now. One thing, what a phone booth is doing here. And a phone booth is there. Then the person said, you can't see, there's cameras on this bridge. So as soon as a person walks here, people are monitoring that. As soon as someone walks here, that phone starts ringing. So this man suddenly wonder who's phoning. So he'll pick up the phone and somebody else is talking, how are you? You okay? Life is okay? Because whoever comes on that bridge now, most likely has come to jump. So the phone rings and at least then he'll speak on the phone. The president of Turkey, he was driving one day. Current president. As he's driving, he sees there's a commotion on top. He asks, what's happening there? They say, one man wants to jump. So he says, take me that side. Amazing man this is. He went there. He jumped out. He walked. He told the person, can I talk to you? The person said, who are you? He said, I'm the president. The man got a thrill of his life. He said, oh, you president. He said, let's talk. He started talking with him. They two sat down while everyone is looking at the thing. He sat down. He said, what problems you got in life? He said, he spoke with the person. He said, yeah, we can sort this out. We can sort that out. Let's go, come. And he took him with him in his car and he saved him. Who in the world will do that? Our president, his bodyguards drive so fast they kill everybody else. That president, he jumped out of his car to go save the person. How unique is Islam and what character it creates. That then, very far from the topic, I forgot what I was speaking about. So this wizrun that I was saying, so when that person commits suicide, they write a letter there. They really think people are going to remember them. If you go to that bridge, you will see there's flowers there. Which meant that when they died, then their mother, their father, their family put one flower. That flower is dead. Dead flower means after few months, your mother for who you killed yourself forgot about you. She never had the time to come put a new flower. That flower shows the reality of this world. If you really think anyone is going to remember you, no one is going to remember. No one. Man's nature. Woman's nature. Umar radiallahu anhu gets married. The woman he gets married to, her husband, when he passed away, she gave ash'ar in love. In that ash'ar, she spoke about how I will never turn my eye now to anyone in this world. And without you, life will never be the same. And whatever she said. So when she got married, Ali radiallahu anhu came. And he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, I want to read some ash'ar. So he says, no problem. He said, but I want to read it where your wife can hear it. So he says, no problem. So he starts reading her ash'ar. Now she starts crying now. Because she's like upset now. How you can say this on my wedding day? So Umar radiallahu anhu says like, what are you up to, like making a cry on such a day? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, I just wanted women to understand that big talks they have, but so fast it's forgotten, so fast. We have seen how many examples where they said, I'll never be able to love again, never be able to love. Life carries on. No one in the world will ever really remember you. So don't worry of followers. That followers can be 1 million, 2 million, 2 billion. They'll forget you the next day. If Allah wants to lift a man's name, his name will go high in the world. You don't need anybody else to lift you. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ Almighty Allah says, have I not lifted it already for you? How it's lifted. When you will pass away, an angel as it's taking you up, other angels will say, what's his name? The angel will take your name. Other angels will say, what a wonderful name and what a wonderful smell. In this world, every action you do, as it's going up, it goes up with your name also. It comes that the earth always seeks your name. And he says, I wait for the time that you pass away. And I ask, you must be buried in me. It comes in the narration, a believer goes past a mountain. He takes Allah's name at the mountain. That mountain speaks to the other mountain. Says, today the servant of Allah passed by me. Your name is taken at that time. When someone passes away, one person reads Quran. One person gives charity for that person. The angel who goes to that person, as he's showing him the reward that has come, that person, it could be the father who passed away, mother passed away, that person asks the angel, who sent this for me? The angel takes your name in that place also. Says, your son thought of you today, your daughter, your name is high. Every time you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has sent angels. They bring your salutations, your salams to me. When it reaches me, it is not only this salam came, this salam came, this salam came. He says the angel is ordered to take the name of the person who sent it also. And what a place that name is taken. Allah tabarakul asks, have I not lifted up your name so high? And still me and you go looking, is my name on the wall there? I came out first, did they put it on the wall? Why it's not on the wall? Allah Ta'ala says, where I have taken your name, you worried about it on one hall, on one wall. There's something called in America the wall of fame, or the floor of fame, or whatever. So whenever you do something unique like, then they'll put your name there. It was there, I think, that Muhammad Ali, the boxer, most likely it was him they wanted to write his name. And he says, I'll never allow you to write my name on the floor, because people walk on it, and my name is the name Muhammad. No one can put their foot on that name. So for him, they made one board and they put it on the wall. Like. But everybody else's name is on the floor. That man is so happy, my name is. He doesn't know other people are trampling his name. Like. Because he is this Muhammad Ali. He said, you can't write my name there. Never ever. Allah Pak says, where I put your name? Where we are looking for it? وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. After that now, it's like, I got no problems. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I know you got a problem. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Almighty Allah says, remember with one difficulty, you will find minimum two things of ease. Ulama write, either you can think of it in this manner, before the difficulty, there was no difficulty. So it was easy. And after the difficulty, that difficulty is going to go away, there's going to be another ease. So with the one difficulty, you were definitely surrounded by two places of ease. Think of the one before, think of the one after. Others said, no, not that. Yusrun is ease, yusrain is two ease. They said, Allah has made it such, for every difficulty we get in this world, you will find two periods where it's enjoyable. One will be after the difficulty disappears here. Because difficulties always disappear. My tooth is paining. Go to the dentist. I'm relieved. لِصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the man who's fasting, how wonderful he feels when he breaks his. He says, that's only one thing. He says, the real pleasure is going to be when he meets his Allah. For every difficulty, there's going to be one ease in this world. That pain is going to go. A child, you lost a child, you're feeling that pain. Allah says, that pain is going to go. But yusrun here, there'll be another yusrun there. That when you will reach Almighty Allah in that world. I went to a friend's house whose son passed away. His son passed away just before he became baligh. Just before becoming baligh. There I said to him, there was a muhaddis of the past. His son passed away just before he became baligh. Just. He finished his hifz just before becoming baligh. The people around found him. He's half smiling, half crying. They got one child, got himmat, courage, he asked, like, what's this? So he says, years ago I had a dream. I was on the plains of Hashar, Qiyamah. Young children were running around. I was thirsty. So many of his students, he was a muhaddis of the era. But on that day of Qiyamah, everyone runs away from you. No one's going to say, Hazrat, can I make your khidmah? But he said, these young boys, they had some drink with them. And I was seeing whoever is drinking it, like life is coming back to him. So many young boys, but every time I'm going to one boy, the boy is running away from me. So I scream out to one boy that, can't you give me the drink? And the boy looks at me and he says, uncle, you're not my father. And then I wake up. So he was a muhaddis, he understood immediately the narration that that person whose child passes away before becoming baligh will be an amanat kept waiting for him to make his khidmah. He said, you're not my father. If you were my father, I got a drink for you. You're not my father. It meant that if you haven't lost one child before becoming baligh, on that day you'll have to wait a little bit to get your drink. He says, that moment I said, oh Allah, if I need to get someone to give me water on that day, then I'm ready for it. He says, but then when the child grew up, he never passed away. Just before becoming baligh, he passed away. Now he's thinking of that promise he made to Allah. How can he cry now? How can he cry? So he said to them that, I want to cry because what a child I lost, and I'm smiling because of what a gift I got. For every difficulty, yusrun year in this world, one is coming in that world. Yusrain. For every difficulty, you're going to get two ease. You're going to get ease in this world. You're going to get something in the year after. Inna ma'al usri yusra. And the end of the surah, which is the most unique. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. That if you really want to take yourself out of depression, and you want to create so much power in your body, that no matter what troubles you, you can still smile through it all. When you have waves and you have a surfer, the man who learns how to surf at the beginning, ask him the stress on the body. He says, you don't get tired. He says that power that comes in the body, but it only comes after you push the body. You have to make yourself tired to get strength. You have to push yourself, exert, and you become stronger. That's called weightlifting. That is called exercise. You tell the person you're suffering, you say, I'm making muscle. This ayat said, if you want to become strong, make yourself tired. If you want to become strong, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it was, for the people of ilm, for ulama, for them it is, that after you engage so much with the people, and everyone got their story, and everyone got their troubles, the poor imam, he says the mutawalli is the trouble. The poor mutawalli, he says the imam is the trouble. Both of them say the wives are the trouble. Wives say they, that everyone is troubling. So as you engage, you go out, you engage, you go, you say, this one got a problem, that one got a problem. Me and you, our problem is, when we come home, and we tired with the problems of the world, we think, give me a panado, I want to go sleep. Allah Ta'ala said, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you have completed with all these engagements which causing all the problems, فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَرَغَبْ. فَانْصَبْ نَصَبْ. Here means make yourself tired now. Now is the time to make yourself tired. How you make yourself tired at that moment? Now you go on the musalla and you say, Allahu Akbar. Wa ila rabbika farghab. And put your focus now towards your Allah. When this will happen, you will see tomorrow what you thought was the worst of problems. You will say, no, yesterday I did my push-ups. Now suddenly it's not so difficult anymore. I couldn't pick it up along because I never ever made this muscle strong. This nasab, making ourselves tired, fansab, is one thing that we all left out. Tahajjud was not a punishment that Allah put on anyone. It was a gift that was given to the young and the old. The man says, I'm too tired. He says, that's what tahajjud is. Where this ayat said, make yourself tired. Make yourself tired. Read that salah where you're tired. Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna nashi'at al-layl hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila." The one who will make himself keep the light, who will trod with his legs, bang, 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 force himself to pass the night awake, he will see this is the best stamping that can happen. Nasiatul Layl ashaddu wat'an. He's really stamping. All problems will start becoming dissolved, small. If you can come back to this nasab in front of Allah. Stand in front of Allah, make ourselves tired in front of Allah. Our level of tiredness is like a 5-minute thing. People in the past stood 1 hour, then they got tired. Me and you get tired 5 minutes. Get tired, but. So you go back home. Now you're tired. You say, the bayan was long. Now we're tired. At this time when you go home, the musalla is there. Just say, Allahu Akbar. Even if you read only 2 rakats, you will see tomorrow that big problems start becoming smaller. Wa ila rabbika farghab. Make yourself tired and put your attention to Allah. It will make the difficulty small. Together with that, Allah says, but I'll still give you the 2 eases for the difficulty. One in this world, one is coming in the hereafter. And then as you go to the beginning of the verse, and Allah says, what haven't I given you? I have given you everything already. And your focus is on this one problem. In the blessings of Quran, may Allah tabarakallah make a believer and depression can't go together. A believer and anger can't go together. I'm angry with the world. A believer and suicide can't go together. Because Allah tabarakallah has given us so much. A believer is one who smiles and he makes other people smile. One who is always happy, he makes other people happy. A believer, no matter what his condition is, he can always live it out. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib, many a time he would say in the past, like, he'd say, if anyone could make the elephant cry, he says, it's the Maulana who can make the elephant cry. And then people wonder, like, how Maulana makes? So he says, that elephant came with the circus. And they say, tell the elephant your saddest stories. Elephant will never cry. The Maulana went, he whispered something, elephant cried. They said, what you told? He said, how much I earn? The elephant cried. But you ever saw the Maulana crying? The Maulana is always laughing. How is the Maulana laughing? He earns so little, but he can smile and make the world smile. Either some people think he's stealing our sadaqah. How is he laughing? How is he laughing? Every believer was given Quran. Every believer was told, take this Quran and put it on the musalla. And start charging yourself. We don't need people who are doctors, meaning what we call psychiatrists. We don't need people, I have to phone them. You got some time for me, 10 minutes. Allah Tabaraka, I gave you Quran. Wa ila rabbika farghab. Push yourself, make yourself tired to your Allah. And you will see every problem will dissolve. Allah Tabaraka grant us all tawfiq.